Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. We'll read verses 12 through 17 this evening responsively. I'll read verse number 12. You'll join me on verse number 13, all the way through verse number 17. Genesis chapter number 19. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 12, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides sons-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which were here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God in our lives. Lord, thank you for your promise of the Holy Spirit's presence. Lord, thank you for the obedience of your people. Lord, it's been amazing to see what's happened here already today. Lord, thank you in a day like this. Lord, we could see your hand move. But Lord, tonight we're here again. Lord, we empty ourselves once again of ourselves. And tonight, Lord, we'll ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit's power. May our minds be focused on the truth. May our hearts be tender to receive that which is taught tonight. Be with our pastor. Fill him with your power as he preaches. Please do something in our life tonight. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We'll come back to it here in a moment, but let me catch you up with where we are here in Genesis chapter 19. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. He became a very wealthy animal farmer under Abraham. Matter of fact, he and Abraham were both very, very wealthy men, became very successful, and they were both so successful that they could not farm together because their herdsmen, they were arguing and fighting with each other. There wasn't room enough for both of them to abide together. Abraham, then you know the story, goes to Lot and says, look, we're family, we're brethren, let's not fight, and let's not have our families fight here. You choose which way you go. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. But I'll give to you your choice of which direction to go. The Bible says that Lot looked towards the well-watered plains of Sodom and took his herds and his family and went that direction. See, he took the flat, easy ground. If you were standing in Israel and you were looking north, the well-watered plains of Sodom would be to your right, east of the Jordan River, in the Iran area. Then you had the mountains where Abraham went. Rougher terrain. Lot looked at the east and he saw the big city afar off and thought, I can sell my product a whole lot faster and easier. Lot figures it'd be easier on flat ground, feed his herds. Plenty of water, plenty of food, plenty of availability to sell it. So Lot makes a decision that will cost him more than he knows. Lot looked at a simple business decision and a way to get wealthy. But did Lot really calculate into it how it would affect the rest of his life? Do we really understand the bigness of one decision? Just one decision. Do we really realize that there is more to life than ease, making money, being comfortable, having what we want when we want it? Lot chose the plains, the flat, easy ground. But he failed to see what all he would lose in that decision. Two angels come, warn Lot that they are going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to this for a second. Imagine how much power those angels had. God sent two angels to destroy two entire cities. We're not talking just two people showed up. We're talking about two powerful creatures, far more powerful than we are. These two angels show up in Sodom, and I won't go through all the details, but Lot was outside the city at the gate because he had moved to the city. He was now living in Sodom. He was no longer in the plains outside. He was in town. He was a ruler. It was so vile that the men of the city came and say, "Hey, we saw two visitors come. Bring them out. We want to be with them tonight." Lot said, "No, you can't have them." He said, "Here, I've got two daughters here at home. You can have them instead." Can you imagine offering your daughters up to a bunch of perverts? They said, "No, that won't do." And the Bible says that they barely got into Lot's house before the men were beating on the door all night long. The next morning, the sun came up, and the angels said, "Look, it's time to go." They lingered, the Bible said. They still didn't want to leave. And these angels grabbed Lot and Lot's wife and Lot's two daughters, grabbed them by the hand, and drug them out of the city. We know the story. They get outside the city, and Lot's wife turns her head and turns into a pillar of salt. She just couldn't get it out of her system. By the way, all because Lot made one decision. Just one decision. Let me take the easy way. Lot tried to get his married daughters and sons-in-laws and their families, and they laughed and mocked at him. By the way, his family perished in that city. They're a safe distance away, and God begins to destroy it. Can you imagine the sound? Can you imagine the screams? Can you imagine the sound of the thunderous raining of rocks and fire? People dying. People that he knew and loved, so to speak. It was horrible. His wife perished, turning to a pillar of salt. T and his two daughters. The angel said, "Look, get up into the mountains where it's safe and stay away." And they go to the mountains with nothing but what they could carry. By the way, the angels leave and they go to those mountains, and his daughters look around and said, "Look, there's nothing left. What's going to happen?" They both get their father drunk and have a relationship with him and become pregnant from their own father. From those two children come the Moabites and the Ammonites. The Moabites, listen to this, those are the Iranians today. That's where Moab is. Iran and all the problems we have with Iran, thank you, Lot. The Ammonites are the Jordanians. Ammon, Jordan, Ammon. So the Jordanians and the Iranians are the children, actually the grandchildren from Lot's own children, birthed by him. Wild, vile people. the Jews still have problems with them. The world still has problems with them. All because Lot made one bad decision. All because Lot decided, I'm going to take the easy way out. I'm going to shyster Uncle Abraham. I'll take the easy way out. I'll get wealthy. I'll get popular. And I'll have it my way. Did Lot not really see all that he could lose? I'm going to talk to you tonight about Lot lost more than we think. Lot lost more than we think. First of all, Lot, what are some of the things that Lot lost in his decision? First of all, he lost his businesses, lost his wealth. He could only take with him that which he could carry. That meant all of his herds burned up. All of his business deals and his bank accounts, gone. He had nothing. All that wealth and all that money he worked so hard to get and was enjoying so much, gone. Secondly, he lost his married daughters and their families. They mocked him. What do you mean, God? Who's this God you're talking about? Look how long Lot had been away from God. His children married people from Sodom, and they mocked him when he said it's time to leave because God's going to judge this place. He didn't have enough respect of his own children for them to listen to him. Look at chapter 19, verse number 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Can you imagine? I can't imagine not having a good enough relationship with my children or their spouses to where they would mock me by saying, that's a bad decision. Mindy and Michael, while we were down there, they had put a bid in on a house. We went to go look at it. My wife and I and Nathan. Mindy was all excited, and I got 2 feet into the door, and Nathan looked at me, and I looked at him and went, mm-mm. We looked through the house. The more we looked, the more Mindy's face went like this. And the more we looked, the more her face went down, and the more her chin dropped, and then finally she was like this. And we both looked at each other and talked, and I said, Nathan, I said, I don't think this. He said, oh, this is horrible. We couldn't even find the water heater. There was no water heater in the house, and no place for it. That was the crazy thing. I mean, it wasn't in the attic, it wasn't in the crawl space, and it wasn't nowhere in the closet. It didn't have sheetrock walls, it had paneling walls with no insulation. From 1967, the old paneling, there were spots you would go like this, and the floors went, and the walls went at the same time. This is not a good thing. Not for $170,000. We left there, Mindy, and I met up with Michael. And Michael and I were talking. He said, so what do you think, Dad? What do you think? I said, you want me to be honest or you want to hear what you want to hear? He said, I want you to tell me the truth. I said, I'm not sure you do. I said, I'm going to. They had paid for an appraisal. I said, in just about 2 hours, you're going to get this appraisal, and you better be ready for it. So I told him what I saw. I said, I want you to forget everything I've told you. I want you to walk into the house. I want you to get a hold of your dad and say, Dad, tell me honestly what you think. Well, Nathan told him almost word for word what I did, and then some. Then the appraisal came in, and he said, it's worse than you guys were saying. I said, we know. So they pulled their offer. You say, what was that? I had enough respect of him that at least he would listen. By the way, we're all thankful, including them. They don't know it yet, but they are. I can't imagine Ruth Ann or my children, or my son-in-law. I can't imagine not having enough respect to where they wouldn't at least listen to something. Hey, that's about to destroy you. They all perished. Lot lost his morality and his integrity. Look at verse number 9. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And that's when they were coming in to try to take those two angels. He lost his morality to the point where the Sodomites were trying to get at two angels. And they said, "Look, who do you think you are? You were a guest in this town years ago. You haven't grown up here like we have. Get out of our way." He lost their respect. He was willing to give his two unmarried daughters over to the perverts to do what they wanted with his very own daughters. "Take my unmarried daughters instead." I couldn't even think that vile, I don't think. Next, Lot lost his home and his possessions. Verses 16 and 17, the angels came and drug them out and said, "Look, whatever you can carry, take with you, but that's it." Only what they could carry was able to be taken. Now listen to this, Brother Mike. Done all the thinking I can. I've done all the reading I can. I've studied. His daughters took enough liquor to get him drunk twice. What did they take with them? Well, we know they took enough liquor to get him tanked twice. They didn't make it that fast. That's his unmarried daughters. Look at the plan they connived. To have a relationship with our dad so that we can have children, because nobody's going to have us. Vile. Shouldn't surprise us. He was willing to give them over to the Sodomites. Everything that they worked for was destroyed. Chapter 19, verse number 26 says he lost his wife. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She was so attached to the city that she couldn't keep from looking back and going back. She died as she turned and turned into a pillar of salt. He lost the respect of his daughters. Verses 30 and 31. Talks about their perverted plan that took place over two evenings. Where'd they learn it? Sodom. One bad decision. One decision to take it the easy way out. One decision to do what I want to do, doesn't matter what God wants. Look at verse number 37. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name, Benamni or Bambi or something, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now listen to me. He was the nephew of Abraham. Had he stayed with Abraham, he could have been labeled as one of those that were amongst the Jews. But his heritage is Iran and Jordan. vile people, hated to this day around the world. He lost his heritage. He could have been part of Abraham, but he fathered, listen to this, he fathered the enemies of Abraham. By the way, you can look like I did. I don't find anywhere after Abraham asked God to spare a lot, I don't find anywhere in Scripture to where they ever met back up with each other ever again. I'm not telling you they didn't, but Scripture doesn't record that they did. Doesn't even imply that they did. Matter of fact, the only time it's mentioned, Lot's name's ever mentioned again, said, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be as is in the days of Lot. He lost his fellowship with Abraham. He lost his good heritage. Now, number two, listen to me very carefully here. I don't have time to read everything here. But look at verse number 8. Behold, let's not go that far. Listen to this statement. Lot never considered the spirituality of his decision. Lot never took into consideration something spiritual about his decision. I don't find one place, Brother Joe, where he said, Uncle Abraham, let's pray about this. I don't find one place where he said, God, what do you want me to do? Bible says he looked to the well-watered plains of Sodom and said, that's what I want. That which appeals to my flesh. I'm going to make some statements here. Please listen carefully. He made a decision based on ease for him, not something spiritual. I don't believe Christianity is magic. It's not spooky Christianity. But I will say this, before you do something big, you better get God in on it. Because if you're missing spirituality, you're missing the main part. I talked to a young man this week, came to my office 30 years old, was a drunkard. Most days, 5 out of 7 days a week, he was drunk before 10 a.m. Sat in my office and said, Pastor, I need help. I said, yes, you do. I said, I happen to know how to fix it. He said, how? I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? He said, nope. He scooched his chair up to my desk. I've turned this very Bible around, thumbed through the pages, showed him the scriptures. He bowed his head, trusted Christ as a Savior, looked up and went, whew. I said, what's that sigh for? He said, I don't know, but I've never felt this way before. I said, I know what it is. I said, well, as you exhaled, the Holy Spirit went in. I said, now you have somebody inside you to help you. Oh, by the way, he was in church this morning and hadn't had a drink since before he came to my office. Texting me every day. Was excited after church. Texted me and said, I'm coming back next week, preacher. Can I tell you something? He made all kinds of decisions, but it was based off of money and what was easy. Not spiritual. Amazing how many people move because they want to make money. Remember back in the 70s, everybody moved to Texas because of the oil boom? Not a one of them checked on churches. Wonder how many Christian families lost their families over a bad decision about money and a job. I watch it happen regularly. It was all about money and his comfort. Now listen to this statement. He didn't consider anything about his spiritual life. It was all about money and ease and comfort. if you need to make a move because of your job, go there and find a church first. If you can't find one, don't take the job. I'm not being unkind. I'm just being real. Because you don't realize how bad one bad decision can be. I heard this decades ago. The devil's green grass usually ends up being artificial turf. Grass may be greener on the other side, but the devil's is always artificial turf. It's not real. It won't sustain you. It looks pretty. It feels soft. But you can't chew it and eat it. Lot never asked God what God wanted. Young people, children, make sure you choose a career in life that God wants, not what you want. I'm not afraid to say it. I've watched many a people choose a career because it's what they wanted, not what God wanted. I'm thankful, and I'm not saying every young person ought to go into ministry. That's stupid. You know your preacher well enough, I'm not saying that. But I think we ought to get God in on it. I really believe we ought to get God in on it. So many things I want to say right there, but I'm going to hurry. Number three. Lot never looked to the next generation to see how his decision would affect them. Lot never looked to the next generation to see how that decision would affect them. My wife and I got married 31 and a half years ago, almost 32 years ago. We had a child while we were in California. He wasn't normal, but while we were in California, after he was born, we went through a battle. I won't go into it, but it was a battle. It was a spiritual battle. It was so bad, Brother Hiles called me at my office one day. I didn't know he knew anything. My wife didn't even know what he knew. I hid as much of it as I could from her. I was working a part-time job painting houses, Brother Scott. Working full-time at the church. Just to feed my wife and my baby. My rent in California at that time was over $1,000 a month, and that was 30 years ago. And we had a 650 square foot house, 2 bedroom, 1 bath. It was so small, if you burped, you had to go to the other room to hear it. I mean, it was bad. Earthquakes all the time. Brother Hiles called. He said, I think it's time to get you out of there. I said, well, I didn't ask, but I'll accept. I'm ready to go. We left, went to South Carolina. But before we did, we prayed about it. Brother Josh, I candidated in South Carolina to be an assistant pastor. The pastor was taking us around. I preached, I don't know how many times, and I ran youth activities, preached to teenagers, taught Sunday school, preached in the church. Came down to where we were supposed to leave in a day or so, and he said, I want to offer you a job. He offered me the job. I said, I accept. We had already prayed and said if the Lord opened the door, we were going to take it. He said, what do you have to go back to? I said, packing. He said, no. He said, job-wise, what do you have to go back to? I said, I'll put my notice in. He said, you don't understand something. I know some things about where you came from. What do you have to go back to? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I already talked to your pastor, and your pastor already said, he already told you what your last day of working there is, whether you took this job or not. How come he didn't tell me that? I said, because it's none of your business. I said, that shouldn't weigh on whether you offer me a job. I trust God enough to where I was going to do whatever God said. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. He said, I think you and I are going to get along. And we did. About 4.5 years later, I got a phone call from Brother Hiles again. And nothing was bad. I didn't think. I was checking real quick. He asked me to go work for him. My wife and I, we got a babysitter. We went down to Sullivan's Island. Amen, Mrs. Lopez. Sullivan's Island is one of those little islands right outside of Charleston, and nobody ever goes out there. It's one of those desolated beaches, you know. And we would go out there and just walk. Nobody, you could walk for a mile and never see a person. We went out there and we walked for hours talking, laughing, crying, scared to death. We weren't sure what we were supposed to do. Obviously, we took the job by the advice of the man that I worked for. Went to Indiana. Then it was time to move back here and worked in the area here for over 10 years. And then 8 years ago almost, about 7.5 years ago, we started Grace Baptist Church. You know, every time I looked ahead and I said, how's it going to affect him? And then eventually her, my other children. We never made a move without looking how it would affect my children. Where I went to college affected who I married. One wrong decision, and I wouldn't have had the wife I have. One wrong decision of hers, and she wouldn't have showed back up at college. She wasn't going to come back to college, but Mrs. Evans called her and said, now, Debbie, you need to be back. And as calm and quiet and as obedient as my wife is, she said, yes, ma'am. She said, this might be the year you meet the man you marry. And 6 weeks later, we had our first date. I'm not kidding. You know, less than a year or right at a year from the time she got that phone call, we were engaged. Almost to the day. Huh, one bad decision. I wonder how it would have affected generations. It wasn't just a business deal. It was a lifestyle and a family move, and look how much of Lot's family was destroyed and how much of it is a mess today. He fathered his own grandchildren. He only saw the fleshly wealth, the fame, the popularity, and the ease he could have. He didn't look how it would affect his children. He didn't see how it would affect his grandchildren. But the Josh and Ruth Ann are getting close to fostering and adopting. My wife's in grandma mode. I'm excited for as well. We're excited for them and we're excited for us. Now listen to this very carefully for a second here. My wife and I, when we started this church, I said, this is forever. I ain't going nowhere. It's easier for them to move their membership than for us to move our furniture. I'm stuck here. We're stuck here. We're going to give it everything we've got. And we're going to die here. They may kill us, but we're going to die here. Can I tell you something? I said, I want to leave something for my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids for years to come. I want to hand over someday my Bible to my son if I'm unable to preach and say, here you go, take it, run with it. By the way, he's already running. Sometimes I'm trying to catch up to him. I want to be able to hand to my grandkids someday the legacy that they have before them spiritually. Lot did not see his daughters marrying in Sodom. He only saw himself making money in Sodom. He didn't see his wife loving the wickedness of Sodom more than loving him. He didn't see his two unmarried daughters loving what they learned in the public of Sodom more than loving what is right. He never saw fathering children by his own daughters. It was just one decision. By the way, Abraham should have made the decision, not Lot. If Lot were wise, he would have said, Uncle Abraham, what do you want? He said, I'm going to take what I want. let Uncle Abraham fend for himself. The selfishness of one decision. Listen to me and I'm done. Every decision we make is usually bigger than we think. Before you make a decision, how about we look at it spiritually, look at it long term, look at it how it's going to affect generations to come. One bad, selfish decision. Look at all the loss that it caused. Let's use godly wisdom. Let's get godly advice. How about we get to the point where we're willing to put what we want aside and say, God, I want what you want. Dad, you remember this. I was 17 years old, had two scouts at a baseball game I was pitching at. They offered me contracts. Going to semi-pro ball right out of high school. I didn't have any better sense. I just walked up to the church and went to the preacher's office. You have to understand, my preacher, Brother Dykes, was 6'4", 245, 250 pounds. He was a big man. I was 5'8" and 98 pounds, dripping wet with pockets full of bananas. Scrawny little kid. I put those two contracts in my Bible, walked to the church 5 blocks away, walked up to his office and said, Preacher, I got these two contracts offered to me to go pitch. One for the Indians, one for the Royals. That time, Nolan Ryan was still pitching for Kansas City. I lived less than 60 miles from Cleveland Stadium. I said, what should I do? My giant preacher sat at his desk, never got up. I'm standing at the desk, looking him eye to eyeball while he's sitting. He said, son, did God call you to preach? I said, yes, sir. He said, what's your question? I thought, well, the preacher's getting old. He's almost as old as my dad. So I went through it again. He looked at me the second time and said, son, did God call you to preach? I said, yes, sir. He said, what's your question? I thought, man, the preacher's losing it, Brother Barnes. I started to go through this the third time, and he stopped me, and he said, son, did God call you to preach? Yes, sir. What's the question? Oh. Maybe he wasn't the one losing it. I just ain't got it yet. I took those pieces of paper out of my Bible. I tore them up and put them on his desk and said, thanks, preacher. Put my Bible in my arm and walked out. I went to Bible college. Been a preacher. We were in Charleston, South Carolina. I took my teenagers to a Charleston River Dogs game, single-A baseball. There was a guy playing ball that had the last name Ryan. I looked at my wife and said, I wonder if that's Nolan Ryan's son. I said, nah. About two innings later, I looked over and I saw a fella standing up. And I said, that's Nolan Ryan. She said, who's that? I said, oh, shut up. She still doesn't know who it is. I said, I'm going to go talk to him. I walked over and I said, Mr. Ryan. I introduced myself, and he was kind of like, oh, no, I got to sign another autograph. I said, I'm not asking for your signature. I told him who I was, told him a little bit about the story when I was 17 years old. Told him I had a group of teenagers there, been in the ministry for a while. He said, young man, you made the right decision. I said, thank you. I believe I did. He said, I know you did. And I said, Mr. Ryan, may I ask you a question? He said, you sure may. I said, do you know that you'd go to heaven if you died? Are you 100% sure? A big old tear started running down that man's face. He said, I was a 10-year-old boy, went to a Baptist church in Texas and got saved. He said, you care enough about me to care about where I'm going for eternity. He said, I know you made the right decision, son. He said, playing ball doesn't last. What you do lasts forever. Cool. That's right. Charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. One decision. What if my preacher said, well, go ahead and go play baseball, get famous, make lots of money, get on TV, and then you'll be able to have a world ministry. Stupid. Doesn't happen that way. But we've seen hundreds of thousands of people get saved. Heaven's going to get populated a little bit more. Why? Get God in on the decision. One decision, we don't realize how powerful one decision is. What you do after high school determines who you marry. Now, one decision, good or bad. Deciding a career, well, this is what I want to do. I'm not against what you want to do, but what does God want you to do? Well, I've got this job opportunity, preacher. What's God want for you? Let's keep God in on all this. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Lot lost more than we think. There was a lot more to Lot's loss than just a few of his possessions and his wealth. He lost it all.